Hi, my name is Andrew Simmons, and I'm here with you again. I'm the tech communicator for the Communications Law and Policy Society. We're broadcasting here live from the 2010 symposium, Law Chasing Technology. I have with me here a guest, and we're going to polish up the Google Books panel, Balancing Access and Power. If you were unable to be here, it was a tremendous panel, robust, a lot of questions. If you'd like to introduce yourself.
So my name is Matt Shears. I'm the Senior Counsel for Litigation and Legislative Affairs at the Computer and Communications Industry Association. And I'm also an adjunct at Georgetown, where I teach on intellectual property issues.
Well, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for joining the conversation. How do you think the panel went?
Oh, it was a lot of fun. I think Professor Dillack did a really good job setting up this issue, which is just has years of history now, and a number of very unique and complicated questions in a bunch of different segments of the law. So it's appropriate at an interdisciplinary conference like this. We have a very interdisciplinary issue, which is the book search settlement, which involved copyright issues and antitrust issues and privacy issues and class action issues, all in the same dispute.
Mm-hmm. Were you happy with touching on Google Books as a emblem of a larger issue, or do you think it stayed a little too narrow?
Well, you could spend an entire day talking about this issue alone and all the different subsets on it. In fact, I've done conferences like this where we spent the entire day talking about this issue. With the time we had, I thought we really had a lot of fun and got into the meat of a lot of these different sub-issues, and particularly as to how they counsel whether the settlement's a good thing or a bad thing. Mm-hmm. What we didn't get into so much, though, is how the settlement comments implicitly on the underlying copyright law, which is something that, as an IP lawyer, I'm very interested in. What we've seen here is sort of, a hack to copyright law. We need to use, Google is using, the class action process as a way to resolve one of the fundamental mismatches in copyright law, which is that we've created a system for handing out rights, but we haven't created any mechanism for figuring out where those rights are. Mm-hmm. And as any law and economics scholar will tell you, property rights are only so useful as you know who has the rights. And so if you read Heller's Gridlock Economy or something, you can find out that too much ownership's a bad thing if the costs of nailing down that ownership exceed the value of what you could do with the underlying content.
Certainly.
And that appears to be the case with all these orphaned books. And books that are, in libraries, the cost of trying to sort out the publisher and digital rights and who the author is and whether there's sub-authors, whether the rights were renewed, for most books is more than the value of the book. So doing it in this very holistic way is pretty much the only way that we can ever get all these books available in a digital format.
Yeah. I'd like to take a step back, if I may, and in the spirit of the theme of law chasing technology, and maybe as a subset of law, what is law if not to protect or ensure rights for lay people, for the consumer? How do you think the Google Books settlement, the ongoing litigation, Google Books as a concept is impacting average Joe book reader?
Well, from a reader standpoint, it certainly offers a lot of opportunities for accessing content that the average reader would not previously have had. And even though we've made a lot of progress on digital books generally, search functionality is something that we haven't really seen yet. And so the ability to search large libraries of works is something that is going to be an incredible advantage down the road that, even though I could buy digital books from Amazon, I wouldn't necessarily have, because that's just not what Amazon's business is. They're in the business of selling books. They're not in the business of helping people find information.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of benefits here. Anytime stuff goes digital and goes into the cloud, there are all sorts of privacy and law enforcement issues that we have, and these are issues that exist throughout the industry, right? So whether it's what I'm searching for or what I'm checking out from the library online, I have all these privacy concerns about that, and those apply equally to this. And so there are these natural living in an online environment issues that are also going to affect readers, and those may not all be positive, right? Mm-hmm. It's one of the things that we have to manage with technology policy.
Mm-hmm. So what if the listeners out there are a little unfamiliar, what would you say is the trajectory of the ongoing litigation?
Wow. So right now, just a couple days ago, Judge Chin heard heard comments in the fairness hearing. So all the interested parties got up and sort of had their opportunity to give their two cents in addition to all the mm-hmm. hundreds and hundreds of written submissions that have been filed. We're now waiting for a determination on the fairness of the settlement, right? That's what our class action rules require. The judge has to pass on whether or not it's fair and adequate under Federal Rules of Civil Procedure 23. I think it's safe to say that there's going to be an appeal. Some constituency will be unhappy. If the judge approves the settlement, there are going to be rights holders who are going to get upset, mm-hmm. and they're quite likely to go up to the Second Circuit. If the judge denies the settlement, the authors are certainly going to be concerned, I would imagine, because it's quite likely that if Google litigates this case, they will lose.
Mm-hmm.
So they probably have more to lose than Google does. But Google also was very excited about providing this project, and so I would imagine that if the judge disapproved the settlement, they might fight on, because ultimately, what Google can do under fair use, although it's pretty cool,
mm-hmm.
Is relatively limited compared to what the settlement permits Google to do.
Right. I wanted to touch on something you said earlier that at least I thought was pretty interesting, and that was you mentioned a schism or a bit of a fracture in adopting the copyright laws, and maybe the Google Books problem or perceived problem as an outgrowth of what we did or didn't do in adopting our initial mm-hmm. copyright laws. How has that history affected the Google Books litigation?
Well, I think... So the long and the short of it is, when we created copyright law years and years ago, starting back with the Statute of Anne and then leading up to the Berne Convention in 1886, we always had a tradition of keeping information about rights. And we tended to enforce the obligation to cough up that information
mm-hmm.
By saying, well, if you don't do that, you're going to lose your rights. It was a very harsh penalty, and so over time, the obligation to register your work, to mark your work, to renew your rights, came to be viewed as a bad thing, because individual authors got hurt when they dropped the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, well, this is terrible, we should stop. The thing is that we didn't stop punishing artists, we stopped collecting the information. And so now there's no way to know who owns what. And so I could go out on the street corner and, there's a house there that I want to buy. I can go down to the county records department, figure out who owns it,
mm-hmm.
track them down, and make an offer. I can't do that with any copyrighted work because that registry doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. People think we have it, right? People think, well, you can go to the government and figure it out. Nobody knows. Nobody knows who owns this stuff. So we've been handing out rights, but we haven't been handing out the information to make those rights economically useful.
Sure.
And so had we been doing that, Google probably could have much more easily negotiated licenses here and cut a deal. But the absence of formalities in our law, which we used to think was a feature, is now turning out to be a very, very big bug.
Mm. You mentioned early the proclivity of this subject to be interdisciplinary.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering what your thoughts were on what role the non-legal community has to play in the Google Books discussion.
Well, certainly... non-lawyers should be weighing in on policy issues as much as lawyers, right? Certainly the legal community ought to have no monopoly on what is good and bad policy. Frankly, in the copyright law context, I'm not really certain that the legal community is very clear about figuring out what good policy is. We tend to benefit from more complicated policy. to the lawyers to go on, that's good for us, maybe not so good for you. It's very important to stay engaged in these issues. It's admittedly very complex. The privacy issues that are here, to the extent there are any, are things that obviously people need to figure out for themselves, right? I mean, as sort of members of a digital society, we do have, it's incumbent on us to kind of figure out how things affect us.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to hold our hand in everything we do. And so we do have to be more informed as well. So, you know, I mean, that's one thing. Part of it is sort of getting involved, getting politically involved, and educating yourself about what's really going on here. These are important in any issue, right, in a democracy.
Sure. Well, emphasizing the importance of education and political involvement, I can think of no better way to close the interview. Thanks so much for being with us.
Sure, my
Thanks
pleasure.
So much for being here, and we hope to see you next year.
Yeah, certainly.